Good to see you braving this cold night to come out and have warm fellowship. And we trust that tonight, as we come to God's word, that our hearts will be warmed within us. And tonight I want to look at 1 Peter chapter 5 and verses 1 to 11. And the topic that I'm going to speak on tonight is I want to deal with the subject of how to deal with anxiety. And so let's just read this passage together. Then we'll pray and we'll ask God to help us, and then we'll try and see what we can learn from it. Reading from the NIV, to the elders among you, I appeal as fellow elder, a witness of Christ's sufferings, and one who also will share in the glory to be revealed. Be shepherds of God's flock, that under your care, serving as overseers, do not because you must, but because you are willing, as God wants you to be. Not greedy for money, but eager to serve, not lording it over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that will never fade away. Young men, in the same way, be submissive to those who are older. Clothe yourselves with humility towards one another, because God opposes the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. Cast all your anxiety on him, because he cares for you. Be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone that he may devour. Resist him, standing firm in the faith, because you know that your brothers throughout the world are undergoing the same kind of sufferings. And the God of all grace, who's called you to be to his eternal glory in Christ, after you have suffered a little while, will himself restore you and make you strong, firm and steadfast. To him be the power forever and ever. Amen. May the Lord bless that word to our hearts as we think about it tonight. I'm sure that for all of you, life is full of surprises. I can remember 10 years ago when I was diagnosed with cancer. I certainly didn't have any time to think about it at that stage. This time round, it's been a little bit different, and one has got to try and process what is happening in your life. And where do we go to find the answers to our questions? Well, of course, the best thing to do is to turn to God's word. And there is no better place than to go to God's word and to go to the Lord. And so that's what I want to try and do this evening. And so we're looking at this passage here in 1 Peter chapter 5. And this passage is speaking to elders, exhorting them to be good shepherds of God's flock, to be examples of those to those that are entrusted to their care. So hopefully I can encourage you tonight to put your trust in the one who is trustworthy, our Lord Jesus Christ. There are times in life when even the best of friends can't do all that much to help us. But the wonderful thing is that God can. And so we do all that we can within our own limitations. But at the end of the day, we need to turn to God, because he is the one who is in control of all things. So in verse 2, it says there, be shepherds of God's flock, not because you must, but because you are willing. So the very first thing for us is to be willing for God to use us in whatever circumstances we find ourselves in. And so the question that we need to be looking at tonight is, how do we deal with anxiety? How do we deal with these kind of things that come upon us? And to be willing that God would use us in any way that he should choose. And so I would like for you this for a moment to just try and picture this scenario in your minds. Imagine it's about 10 minutes past midnight, and mom and dad are lying in bed with the bedside light on, and their teenage daughter, who said she would be home at 10, hasn't come home. And mom turns to dad and she says to him, honey, I'm so worried about her. And dad, being very spiritual, says, honey, don't you recall what Peter says? He says, cast all your cares on the Lord Jesus, because he cares for you and he cares for her. And mom says to him, he says, but honey, it doesn't help. I'm still worried because I care about her. You see, that's human nature, isn't it? There seems to be some sort of a tension in ourselves when we try and weigh up this whole matter of being anxious and yet at the same time having faith in God. And we know verse 7 here in Peter chapter 5. It says, knowing that we need to cast all of our cares and our anxieties on God because he cares for us. And yet somehow there's that other human side of us that is concerned about these things. And we still, like that mother, we are still worried. And we're still anxious. And so we live in a world where there is so many things that cause anxiety. We live in a time when in our history of our country, there's cause for concern, as Jimmy prayed tonight. Well, let me just tell you what a Baptist preacher once said. And this is what he said. He said, this depression in trade has brought anxiety to many a heart and home. Few have escaped the pinch of these hard times. Now that sounds very familiar to us, doesn't it? But only it wasn't written this year. Those were the words of Charles Spurgeon in the Metropolitan Tabernacle in 1881. And isn't it amazing to see how times haven't changed? There is always some reason to be anxious. There is always some financial burden. There is always people about which we are concerned and whom we are anxious over and whom we are worried about. And there are times when we feel absolutely helpless in certain situations. And so we see young people today, we hear them saying, well, you know, oh, if you worry, you die. If you don't worry, you still die. So why worry? Let's just eat, drink, and be merry. And so when people should be enjoying life, how many are these days on sleeping tablets, visiting psychiatrists? And we wonder why. We ask the question, how is this possible? And so in chapter 5, isn't Peter being a little bit unrealistic when he says to us, get rid of all of your anxiety? Isn't the Apostle Paul perhaps over back in Philippians when he says, we are not to be anxious about anything? And sometimes we have to say to ourselves, it's difficult. It appears to be another one of those occasions in Scripture where the standard seems to be so high that we cry out for help and we want to give up before we even start. Well, that was my problem when I came to look at this particular text, to try and to discover how we can possibly live up to this requirement that God has set before us, how to trust God come what may in our lives. And yet we know that God could not put something in the Bible that we are incapable of actually following through with. So he is urging us here through Peter to cast all of our anxiety on him. And so it must be possible. Well, let me share with you the results of my research. I don't pretend tonight to have got all of this totally perfected in my own life. But I have discovered this, that when I put it into practice, it works. First of all, I noticed that Peter speaks of casting. And it's in the context of being of humility, being humble, humbling ourselves in verse 5. And so we like, don't we, to handle everything ourselves. So Peter, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit in this context of humility, realizing that we actually cannot cope with the things that come upon us in our own strength. And therefore he acknowledges that we need somebody who is outside of ourselves, somebody greater than ourselves, someone who is able to help us. And so often we find that in the world people will pick on us as Christians and they will say to us, well, you know, you're just a bunch of weaklings that need a crutch. You need somebody to lean on. And of course tonight I'm just happy to say to you that I'm not ashamed. That is absolutely true. I do need someone to lean on. And I don't believe that life can be handled without someone who is outside of ourselves, who can sustain us and help us. I think that life is one of the teaching, it's like a schoolroom, isn't it? We are taught through these different situations that we have to face ourselves, that we cannot fix them ourselves. We need the Lord to intervene on our behalf. And so in verse 6, we are told to humble ourselves under God's mighty hand. Because we discover the Lord gives us strength when we are at our most weak point. It's also at that time when the devil comes to us and he whispers in our ears, and he will attack us at that same time. And so Jesus is the only one who can make a way when there is no way. And so in verse 7, it's in this context that Peter suggests that we throw our worries away. When we feel that anxiety that comes upon us, we need to deliberately take it and throw it away. And I'm sure that you've all had the experience at some stage in your life of moving house. And you don't believe when you see that Pentechnicon pull up to the front door and you start to pack all of your belongings, and you can't imagine that you're going to be able to fill that Pentechnicon. But as you start packing, outside the front door there appears a pile of boxes. And outside the back door we find that you stack up another pile, but it's a pile of junk that has been in your house that you've treasured for years. And so what has been so important to you for all of those years suddenly is now no longer of any importance. And you suddenly discover that you can actually do without them. Do without it. Throw it away. It's not something that you need. And so Peter says to us, take your anxiety and throw it away. But you notice the heavier the burden, the harder it is to actually pick it up and throw it away. So when something gets bigger and begins to weigh you down, we discover it's much harder to lift it off. So Peter tries to get us to that point that as soon as we feel that anxiety, we will cast it away. Cast it on the Lord Jesus Christ, because he is able to cope with it. And so the problem is with us is that we like to be in control of all things, don't we? When we think we're in control of something, then we find that there is a lot less anxiety. It's when we begin to lose control. So in verse 9, it reminds us that we are to resist the devil, because we all go through the same kind of sufferings. The devil bombards our minds because it's a battle for the mind. And the Word of God tells us that we are to allow the mind of Christ to dwell in us richly. And so how do we do that? We need to fill our minds with the things of God, fill our minds with God's Word and God's instructions and the way God thinks, things that are good and pure and holy. And as we fill our minds with these things, so our focus is on God and not on all the situation that's around us. Whenever he had us, I had a friend whose name was Rodney Ricks. He was a great Christian guy up in Zimbabwe and a man that I looked up to and enjoyed his company. And very often he used to, every spare moment that he had, he would go up in the air in one of those single engine aeroplanes. And at times he would invite me and I used to go along with him. And of course I loved it. And one day he said to me while we were flying, he said, how would you like to feel what it's like to spin? He didn't wait for my response. He went up fairly high and so he had a bit of room to maneuver. And as he got to the right altitude, he just simply shut off the engine. And there was only one engine. And he just shut it down. And then he dropped the one wing down a little bit. And of course, the plane just catapulted out of the sky, spinning down towards the ground. And in due course, as you notice, I'm still here. He pulled us out, of course, with a wonderful dive. And I had a bit of a headache at the end of it. But I wasn't anxious. And I asked myself the question, why? Because I was flying with a man that I trusted completely. Some years later, I had a friend of mine in St. James who was flying on an SAA Boeing. And suddenly one of the engines cut out. And then the other three engines also shut down. And he said to me, he said, you know, I prayed like I never prayed in my life before. He was absolutely petrified. He was dead scared. Now, I asked myself, what was the difference between his experience and my experience with my friend Rodney? I think one of the differences was that the SAA Boeing was a lot heavier than that light aircraft that I was in. It had characteristics of a brick. And it was 33,000 feet up in the air, and then all of the engines running suddenly died, and he was dead scared. You see, I think the difference was that he wasn't in the cockpit sitting next to the pilot. He could have told, who could have told him that one of the engines had failed and he had shut down the other three in order just to trim the plane. And then he opened them up again and they were able to land safely. And the people, of course, were applauding the pilot very loudly, as you can imagine. You see, the difference was that in my situation, I knew the pilot. He was a friend and he was in control of the situation. There was the sense that I had of trust in the man that was next to me. My friend sitting on the Boeing felt out of control, unable to do anything, helpless, and he was filled with anxiety because we like to be in control. And Peter says to us here, he says, you can't be in control. You cannot control your life. The minute you feel that anxiety, you actually have to come to the place where you make a decision to hand it over to someone who is greater than you. And so verse 6 says, we are to humble ourselves under God's mighty hand because we are not in control of our lives. You have to give your life over to God and to trust Him. And I'm so glad that Peter says it the way he does. He doesn't say to us, he says, don't ever you dare be anxious about anything. You know, sometimes the devil makes us feel that we should be doing so much more about our situation, trying to help ourselves. But we find here that neither Paul nor Peter acknowledge that, they all acknowledge that anxiety will come to all of us at some time. But when it comes, we've got to make a decision and do something about it. So when we worry about that child who is out late or someone who we dearly love who is ill, that's not the moment for us to be anxious. It's not the moment for us to allow that anxiety to start eating us up. For we are to look at this verse. We are to cast all of our anxieties on the Lord Jesus. And if we go to the passage in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6 where Paul speaks about being anxious about nothing, I found it very interesting that also in Philippians 2 verse 20, that same word is used in a positive sense where Paul talks about being genuinely interested in somebody. So we see here that the word can mean negative anxiety or it can mean positive interest. So there's this flip side of exactly the same word. And sometimes in our lives it's difficult when we are in a situation to see which side is up. When is it deep heart concern for someone? Or when is it becoming anxious, negative anxiety? When is it going to start eating me up? And so Peter reminds us that we need to get rid of it when it's anxiety. Pass it on to the Lord. When it comes, and it will, don't allow it to come and take control of you and eat you up like a cancer. Don't allow Satan to give you ulcers, but we need to turn to the one who is able to sustain us. You see, the Bible is so practical, isn't it? The Bible doesn't say that now you are anxious that you ought not to be so. Now that you are feeling so terribly vulnerable, that you shouldn't be like that. Just be indifferent about it. Well, that's impossible, isn't it? You can't be indifferent about it. Think of yourself for a moment lying there in one evening in bed and it's a storm teeming down outside the house, outside your window, and you know that one of your loved ones is out in your car and it's got smooth tires, and in your mind you're wondering what is happening to them out there. Or that teenager who promised that she would be home at 10 a.m., and now it's midnight and she hasn't come home. Or your loved one is sick and you can't do anything about it. And you can't just shrug your shoulders and say, well, you know, it's fine. Go back to sleep. No, we find that we've got a concern. It's a deep concern and it's a real concern. But what does the Word of God say that we must do? And we have to go back to what Paul says. And he says in chapter 4 and verse 6, he says, my prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And so now I know this sounds like one of those trite evangelical answers that we get. When we're in trouble, we are to pray. Yet that is exactly what God says we must do. Because sometimes there is nothing that you and I can do about it. But we need to turn to God because He is able and we can leave it in His hands. When anxiety strikes, when you sense that unease, instead of allowing Satan to eat yourself up, turn it over to God because nothing can happen to you unless God allows it, unless He has a purpose behind it. What does this verse in Philippians 4:7 say? It says, "And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." When we hand it over to God, that's what happens. He gives us peace in our hearts. He guards our minds from the attacks of the enemy. And so this is what He promises. This is what God does. And this is what He offers to trade for your anxiety if you will hand it over to Him. And when we do that, what does He tell us? When we do what He tells us to do, we discover that it actually works. While it's just concern and it's not eating you up, that's a natural experience. We all go through these things. But the moment we find that it becomes anxiety, the moment we sense that there is this disquiet in our own hearts, that there's this fear that grips us, that you are really getting worried, that's a sign that you are not trusting God. The Word of God says, throw it away, cast it on Him. Not just some of it, but all of it, the big things and the small. I remember a song that we used to sing when I was in the young people's group when I was a youngster. And the song used to go like this: give them all to Jesus, for He will turn your sorrows into joy. That doesn't mean that we decide the things that He must worry about and the things that we've got to worry about ourselves. Of course, there are things that we need to worry about. There are exceptions to that rule. We are allowed to worry and to be anxious about the times when we get angry or covetousness or when we are proud or when we have ambition to better ourselves, to become something and make something of ourselves, to our willful sin. These things cause us concern, and it's to understand that they do. If we are becoming anxious that you are not making enough money, then it's a lack of trust in God. Or if you're becoming anxious, you can't ask God to take that anxiety away because it can be a picture of greed in your life. That's covetousness. And He has told you that we are not to covet our neighbor's goods. And so we have to trust God and be content with what we have. Or if you wanted to make a name for yourselves and you're getting anxious that you're not making it, you can't ask God to take that away. You see, there are some things that are sin, and we are anxious about those things, which is right. When you are getting anxious about things that are going to make you something special, make you looking good in the eyes of people, or it's going to build up your own kingdom, then that type of anxiety is something that God cannot take away, and you cannot cast it on Him because it's sin. Only thing that we can do with those kind of things is to come to God and ask Him to forgive us and to be able to get rid of it that way. But that's not really what we're talking about tonight. We're talking about this genuine anxiety that comes about because of our own circumstances, because of the people that surround us, because of our financial situation perhaps, because of our job situation or lack of a job. Those things are genuine concerns for me as a believer. Peter says, the moment you sense that this is becoming negative, cast it on the Lord. How can we do that? Well, he goes on to tell us. He says you can cast it on the Lord because He cares for you. Now, that word used here in verse 2 is talking about a watchfulness of a shepherd. He's not just caring for you in some kind of a general sense. As God, who is sovereign, who is holding the whole world in His hands. No, here it is speaking about this individual care of the shepherd. And so in verse 10 he says, after you have suffered a while, Himself will restore you. You see, the Lord knows every sheep, doesn't He? He absolutely identifies with you in your time of need. God knows you. God knows me. He knows you by name. And therefore, he can make you strong and steadfast, says the scriptures. He knows if you are the kind of person who worries a little more than the person who's next to you. He knows when you need more help from him and that he cares about you. Now, it's interesting if you go back then and you read that verse again where he says, cast your care on him because he cares for you. We see that those two words, cares, are so close to each other that God cares for you in a way that is almost just short of anxiety. That genuine care that you have for a loved one that is ill and you can't do anything about it. That's the care that God has for you. But with God, it will never have that dimension of anxiety because he is always in control. He never loses control because he is allowing everything for your good and for the good of others. And so this is the God who cares for each and every one of us. I find it so wonderful to know this person, this the Lord Jesus, that I can hand my anxiety over to him. It's not just a friend who might let us down. He is not just the neighbor next door who may pat us on the back and might say to you, well, you know, why don't you just cheer up? You know, it's going to get better. And we don't know whether it is or is it, it isn't. It might get worse. And so we are handing our anxieties over to the one who is able to make it better if it's his will. He has demonstrated his power over and over again to us in our lives and in the lives of others. He is actually able to take the problem and to sort it out. And so we have to ask ourselves the question, how many problems in your life hasn't God sorted out already? He is absolutely trustworthy that when we place our problems in his hands, he can control it for our good and for the good of others, because that's what he is interested in. Because he cares for us. We love to have someone who has that kind of control, don't we? Don't you remember when you were little and the light went off and the darkness made all sorts of shapes on the wall and you started to feel anxious and worried and upset and you cried out in the dark and Dad came running from the bedroom to you and he sat on your bed and Mom came through and she held your hand for a few moments, and suddenly, just like that, all of that anxiety was gone. Why? The darkness was still there, the shadows were still there, but somehow you had found somebody who wasn't worried, someone who wasn't concerned about the dark, someone who was prepared to come there and sit on the bed with you in the dark and say to you, it's all right. Don't worry, I'm in control. You see, that's the watchfulness of our God who cares for us. He doesn't always switch the light on the moment we cast our anxiety on him. Sometimes he comes to us in the darkness where we are. Sometimes he comes into the pressure of the situation that you find yourself in. He comes alongside you in your anxiety and in your heartache and in your pressure. And he says, I just want you to know that my strength is made perfect in your weakness. And I may not take your weakness away right now, because there may be a whole lot of reasons why you need to have it. But I'm here. Cast your anxiety on me. Folks, isn't it wonderful to know that we matter to God and that he cares for us? Jesus says that there is not a hair on our heads that he doesn't know about. They're all numbered by him. There's not a sparrow that falls to the ground, but he knows about it. And he says to us, how much more will he take care of you, O you of little faith? There's no burden so large or so small that he cannot take it away from us. There is no song. There's that song that we used to sing. And there's no problem so big that God cannot solve it. There's no mountain too tall that he cannot move it. There is no storm too dark that he cannot calm it. There's no sorrow too deep that he cannot soothe it. He carries the weight of the world upon his shoulder. I know, my brother and my sister, that he can carry you. That's the God who cares for you and who cares for me. That is the God that you and I know and have experienced in our lives. And so when that anxiety comes, you need to know tonight that you need to pass it on. Give it back to Jesus. How can I conclude this message this evening? I think that Paul in Philippians chapter 1 and verse 12 sums up what 1 Peter 5 and 2 and up to verse 11 is saying. Paul says, I want you to know, brothers, that what has happened to me has really served to advance the gospel. And as a result, it has become clear through the whole palace guard and to everyone else that I am in chains for Christ. Because of my chains, most of the brothers in the land have been encouraged to speak the word of God more courageously. And so, folks, tonight my message to you is this. Keep your eyes fixed on Jesus. And by his grace, he teaches us through all the experiences that we go through in life to put our trust in him. Shall we close with our final hymn? Ask.